Welcome you to worship today here at Second Baptist Church. Those of you that are here in the building, we welcome y'all, and we welcome all of you who are at home and wherever you are tuning in. Thank you for joining us for worship. It's an honor to have you all here with us today. Y'all, we're about to have a 62nd anniversary. Second B is getting up there, right? And we want to celebrate together, and there are a few ways that you can help us celebrate. One of the ways is Levin right here on our neighbor, Whiteside Elementary, our neighborhood school. They are fixing to start this week, and we can help them out by doing a back-to-school school supply drive. If you'd like to participate in helping get their desks set up, each student this year, of course, has to have their own supplies and their own desk. There won't be community sharing. So we want to make sure that they're all set and ready to go. We have a collection bin here in the front entrance of the church, and it'll be put outside during the workday if you want to drop something off, or you can bring it next Sunday and drop it off in the bucket as well. We welcome you to do that. And we also invite you to share your memories with us. You'll see in the second email that you received ways to share a video or pictures from the last 2 weeks, the last 2 years, or 62 years memories. We want to hear about your favorite moments at Second B. Will you take a moment now? Take a breath with me. Let's turn our hearts and minds to worship. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
You join me in hearing these words from Psalm 34, words of our faith. I will worship the Lord at all times. The Lord's praise will always be on my lips. I will glorify God and let even the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt the name of the Lord together. I sought God, and I was answered. God delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look at the Lord are radiant, and their faces will never be covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in our God. Fear the Lord, you, God's people, for those who fear God will lack nothing. I invite you to stand as you're able, and we'll continue to worship together.
Thank you. Would you pray with me? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. For yours is the power, yours is the glory. You are God above all gods. We praise you for that, dear Lord. We magnify your holy name. We welcome you here with us. Help us to listen. Help us to sense your spirit's moving within us this morning, that we may have willing hearts and willing minds. Lord, we love you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Now I'd invite all the boys and girls and educators and principals and anyone who works in a school to gather around your screen today, because this Children's Time message is for all of y'all. Gosh, we are about to start another school year, unlike any other. I've taught in a school for many years, and I know that I would have no idea what was going to happen at the start of this year. So I am in awe of all of you that are about to go back to school, and we're so grateful for all the school leaders and administrators who have been working so hard to get this year ready for everyone. Some of you will be going back to school in person. Some of you will be homeschooling for the first time. Some of you will be virtual schooling with your teachers from home. There's going to be all kinds of cool ways to do school this year, and we want to bless you and your backpacks this year to make sure you're off to the right start. As we enter this new school year, unlike any other that we've experienced, we remember that God is faithful and walks beside us. God gives us the gift of learning and the strength to endure the challenges that come our way. So as we step out in faith and prepare for this new year, I'd like to share with you some words of wisdom from Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, "Listen, children, to a father's instruction and be attentive, that you may gain insight." I think the Bible's telling us that we have to pay attention this year, right? Verse 4 says, "He taught me and he said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live.'" So let's follow the rules. Verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth." Let's stay smart this year and make wise decisions. Verse 14, "Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evildoers." God wants us to do what's right. Verse 20, "My child, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." So listen carefully, everyone. Verse 23, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." Most importantly this year, guard your hearts. Protect your heart this year. Verse 25, "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you." Stay focused on what's most important. Remember, last week we talked about forgetting about what's on the outside of the path, right? Don't get caught up in the blur. Stay straight and stay focused. And lastly, verse 26, "Keep straight the path of your feet and all your ways will be sure." Follow God's word. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, we ask you your blessings upon this new school year. Take our fears and doubts and replace them with peace. Watch over these students and help them to discover and develop the gifts that you have given them. As they carry these backpacks, may they be reminded of your love and care that surrounds them each school day. Give them confidence when they are anxious, comfort when they are afraid, and encouragement when they are tired. Lord, we pray also for educators, administrators, custodians, and other school personnel. Be with them as they are charged with making difficult decisions on behalf of students who walk through their buildings. And Father, as Pastor Jake reminded us last Sunday, you are saying to each of us, come on, you can do it. I am with you. Thank you, God, for your love and your blessings. Amen. And if you would like one of these backpack tags, boys and girls and educators, just send me a message and I will save one for you and get it to you. Thank you.
Thank you. We could just sit and watch the pictures of the children all morning, and that would be worship enough. Each of these faces just magnify and glorify the presence of the divine right here, not among us, but always with us. Pastor Cheryl, I have a question. That's a big backpack. It's a very large backpack. Is there anything else we need to know? I want to invite you to pray with me, and I'd like to invite you to do so by responding, and I'll mention some of those whom we're praying for as a community, and if you would join with me and say, God, give grace. So let's practice that together. God, give grace. So for educators, those who can't wait to be back in the classroom, and for those who fear for their safety, we pray together. God, give grace. For seniors in high school whose final year of sort of primary education won't be as anticipated, we pray together, God, give grace. For freshmen in college who wonder why not just stay at home, or who did just stay at home and had planned to go, we pray together, God, give grace. For administrators who make difficult decisions, who have the well-being of family and the well-being of literally minds always on their plate day and night, we pray that God would be near to these together. God, give grace. For parents who desperately need their children to be out of the house, we pray together. God, give grace. For parents who may not feel comfortable getting their children out of their house but have no other option, we pray together, God, give grace. For the cafeterias, for the cafeteria workers who serve children every day who may not get a meal anywhere else, may that be the table of God. May communion be shared with these children daily, we pray together. God, give grace. And for those gathered and dispersed who are with heavy heart and frustrated that yet again we cannot get through worship without mentioning coronavirus, we pray together, God, give grace. Good and gracious God, we pray that you would hear these our prayers. Amen.
Thank you. stand for the reading of the gospel. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe.
This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I stand. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
No power of hell,
no scheme of man can ever
returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand
till he returns
or calls me home, here in the power of Christ we'll stand.
Well, certainly from a musical standpoint, that was beautiful. Not that that is my expertise to comment upon. However, it's just really cool to see two people close together, right? And so if you're married, you can be all up on one another. Thank you very much. I want to welcome you and just say it's an honor to worship with you. One strange thing that happens, I think it's on Mondays, I don't know what day, maybe it's Sundays. Scott and Cheryl, our other pastors, are part of this, get an email about who all and how they joined in. Our biggest worship service right now is online. This is where most of the people are engaging with us in worship. And so we get an email that says, how long did they watch the video and where is their IP address from? And sure enough, we've got some folks from Russia, I guess, who are joining us. So, Privyet, Как дела, меня зовут Jake. Maybe it's the NSA listening in, I don't know. But welcome to all of you. Good education, we've been speaking of education. Good education doesn't tell you what to think, now does it? Good education tells you to think. Good education doesn't tell you what to think, that's indoctrination or even incarceration. A good education tells you to think, which is liberation, which is freedom. Similarly, being told how to work or how to parent is a narrow pathway. But sharing why you work, why you parent, why you paint, why you live is a vista towards salvation. Yeah, why? No one, including myself, needs 7 points to a successful marriage. Can I get an amen? What we need is your honest vulnerability of the years that you struggled through together and finally made it dance, or the long battle of a marriage that didn't work, but on the other side of the wall, the grace of God that you experienced in that. Yeah, that will inspire, that story will stand. It is those things that truly fortify our relationships. And what about religion? What about all the red tape of what we call either a church or the church? What does good religion do? And just to kind of take a step back, this is a great word, religion, okay? And we'll have other conversations on other days about other connotations to the word religion and why some, maybe even churches, don't like it. But religion is a great word from a technical sense. It's from a Latin root meaning ligament. Ligament meaning that which connects. Okay? Religion, to reconnect. Religion is the pathway by which we reconnect to the things that are most important in life. What does good religion do? I think our story today, in the perfect example of Christ, demonstrates to us that religion, good religion, doesn't tell you what to believe, or how to believe, or even why to believe. The longer I live, I am convinced one way to experience good reconnection, good religion, is to ask questions. Good questions, I think, leads us to something near to what good religion might be. And so this morning, I'd just like to ask some questions of our text. First, a little note about my religious education. I was told to preach a sermon. You tell the people, first thing, what the text means. Then you spend an hour telling them what you just told them. Set your clocks. Here we go. I've been given an hour. Okay. You make 3 points illustrating the meaning that you've already told the people, and preferably they all begin with the letter S, because there's great words that begin with the letter S, aren't there? Sports. What were you thinking of? And wrap it all up at the end. Tell them the meaning of the text again. And dependent upon context, dependent upon congregation, pepper with stories or jokes or tears or maybe even a little piano or organ if you really want to kick them at the end. And with respect to my formal teachers and my informal mentors, I get it. I get it. All education, all skill has to begin somewhere, right? I just regret that my educators had to get at the front of a classroom and look out and see me awkwardly occupying a chair and then think, we're going to send this? We're going to send this out to do some of the most sacred work in all of humanity, to proclaim the grace of God in the church and in the world? Pray for our seminary professors. It seems to me that education doesn't tell you how to do it. It tells you to engage this whole thing with all that you are, all that you have, and all that you will be. And one way to do this is to ask good questions. So this morning, I'll try to ask questions. You can be the judge whether or not they are good questions. From the verse 22, in Matthew, described as a Canaanite woman, as you probably know, the Gospel of Mark identifies this person as a Syrophoenician or a Greek woman. Who is this woman? Who is she? And unfortunately, and this is not some Alex Trebek question, okay, in which you say the question back and then I say the answer. I have never really watched that show, so I still don't really get it. Maybe you prefer the Will Ferrell analogy. Who is this Canaanite woman other than one who stands in thousands of years of historical religious tradition of women who are treated awfully in our text and not given a name? In the text, even Christ, difficultly here, doesn't give her a name, but instead just refers to her by her background, her skin color, her ethnicity. And if we are willing to slow down with the text, what I find in my life, if we're willing to slow down and ask good questions, what I think happens is the text begins to ask questions back to us. It creates communication, a two-way flow, and we ask, who is this woman? And the text then asks us, who have you not named because of their background, because of their accent of skin or tongue? Who have you not named? And it's not just Scripture. It's not just Scripture that does this. Any good document that we ask a question of, if we'll take enough time, eventually any good document will also ask a question of us, now won't it? Have you ever put a diploma up on the wall? And you've asked, how are you going to help me out here, diploma? What good do you have to offer me that I might then share in the world? What will these letters before or after my name, diploma, do for me? And then eventually, if you sit there long enough, and if you're honest enough with the diploma on the wall, the diploma will then ask you, well, who are you? What do you really care about? What do you want to do? Maybe you don't have a diploma. Maybe you have a checkbook. As I was preparing this sermon, I thought most people would have one or the other. You might want to know, 8:30 crowd, there are people who don't have checkbooks, okay? We ask of our checkbooks, are you balanced? Just time out for maybe some of our younger people. Checkbooks are a way that we used to pay for things. And after you would pay for things, a certain amount of time would pass by, and then you would balance that checkbook, making sure that the number of things that you paid for equals the number of money that's still in your bank account. And so we would write a check and we would ask, is there enough money there to pay for it? Can we do with these resources, checkbook, what we're hoping to do? And eventually, if you'll sit with the checkbook long enough, if you'll slow down and you'll listen, like any good document, the checkbook asks back of us, what do you really value? Are any of these numbers yours? Are any of these numbers to be shared? Yeah, any good document that we might ask a question of will ask us questions right back. Who is this woman, we ask, and the text ask us, who have we not named because of their background, because of their skin color, because of their occupation? Yeah. Dale Carnegie says, a person's name is the sweetest and most important sound in the world. A person's name is the sweetest sound in the world. Book of Isaiah in our scripture says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. The Lord calls you by name, and you are the Lord's. Your name is the sweetest sound in the world to you. And maybe the text is simply asking us back this morning, who might we need to learn their name? Who has gone unnoticed and unnamed in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our places of work? And so maybe just as a simple practice this morning, as we begin, maybe we will name this woman. Would you join me? And I'd like to, if she would allow, I would like for us to name her Sophia, Greek for wisdom. And so if you would help me, and I may slip, if you'd help me for the rest of the morning, we will call this wonderful person Sophia. Question number two, where is the father? Where is the husband? Where is the man? Can a brother get an amen? And for whatever reason, be it war or divorce, be it any number of difficulties in life, maybe you have spent a considerable amount of time in your life wondering, where are the good men? Where is my husband? Where is the father of these children? And maybe you've been blessed to have a wonderful father, a wonderful husband. As a community, we stand in a culture in which this question, where are the good men? Where are the husbands? Where are the fathers? We stand in a culture where this has become ubiquitous. And we believe that God is not male, but it is the metaphor of God, of Father, that helps us learn and grow into better men. We believe that God is not female, but it is Sophia. It is Ruth. It is all the women of valor in Scripture in our lives also. It is all the Marys that help us learn these metaphors, these people help us learn the beauty and the importance of women. And we, as a community, maybe just commit, men, a little bit, just a little bit, that we would be present. We would be present as men, we would be present as fathers, we would be present as husbands, such that this question becomes a little bit less ubiquitous. God give great grace. Question number three. Who's annoying you? Yeah. How long do you have, you might respond. Who's annoying you? This woman just continues to pester the disciples, continues to call out to Jesus and demand mercy and beg for help. And the disciples are like, come on, Jesus, like, give me a break. Who is annoying you? And in a world, we live in a world that maximizes and values efficiencies, that says keep your eye on the ball at all costs. We value a world that says just keep the main thing the main thing. We live in a world that says don't be distracted. And it is here that Christ welcomes the distraction. Who's annoying you? A friend, a mentor, former teacher, Dr. Robert Creech, pastor of University Baptist Church in Houston, Texas for decades, now professor at Baylor, told me something, and I'll never forget it when he said it. He said, there I was pastoring, and I used to fantasize. What a great S word. I used to fantasize about all the ministry that I could get done, that we could get done as a church. I used to fantasize about all the ministry that could happen if we just wouldn't get so distracted. And then it was Sophia who taught me the most important ministry. The most important moments in our life are found in the distractions. So who's annoying you? Or who would you like to annoy? Go and do likewise. Next question. What's the deal with demon possession? My daughter is tormented by a demon. Sophia tenaciously and graciously calls out, what's the deal with demon possession? Have you ever wondered what's the deal with demon possession? To be honest, I have never encountered demon possession. Okay? But I, like you, bear witness to the weight of alcoholism, substance abuse, and the hurt that addiction ravages in our families, in our communities, at a chemical, emotional, real level for decades. See, I've never encountered a demon possession, but I, like you, bear witness to the darkness of depression, bipolar, eating disorders, all number of difficulties with respect to our mental health, and then to boot, negative stigmas with respect to these difficulties. You see, I've never encountered demon possession, but I, like you, bear witness to the weight and the shame that social media projects upon particularly young women in our world. Although we've not encountered all things, we do see these demons. And side by side with Sophia, we cry out, have mercy on us, O God. Yeah. And incredibly, at this moment in religious history, and available to Jesus is any number of traditions to treat demon possession. Any number of prescribed traditions, and Jesus mentions none of them. Because good religion, in the face of true difficulty, doesn't have prescribed answers. Have you ever been told that thing that rhymes when you're going through the hardest moments of your life? Yeah, that's not good religion. Final question. Do you believe what your third grade teacher told you? Maybe it was your first grade teacher. Maybe it was your fifth grade teacher. But do you believe that a little dot does a lot? Yeah. The unnamed Sophia asks only for the crumbs of Christ. And at God's table, a little dot of faith, a little dot of kindness, a little dot of tithing and generosity. At God's table, a little dot of gratitude. Yeah. We see this as evidenced in the perfect example of Christ and even in the compassion of Sophia. Real religion does not tell people what to believe, how to believe, where to believe, who to believe. Real religion says taste and see. Yeah. Taste and see that at God's table all are named and are welcome to speak freely. Yeah. Taste and see at God's table that all parents, all genders show up. Taste and see that those who annoy you and drive you crazy up the wall, that is your brother and your sister and your friend. Taste and see that because of the beauty and the generosity and the grace of God, a little dot does in fact do a lot. Let's pray together. Good and gracious God, we are reminded that you give so much, that we earn nothing. We are reminded that a small taste can change our world and change our lives. In your presence, encourage these, my friends, my brothers, and my sisters, through the magic of the internet, encourage our friends and our families gathered in their homes. Might we all together taste and see that you are God and you are good. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen.
Please join me in the offertory prayer. Loving and steadfast Holy One, we come today with many mixed emotions, On the one hand, confused and fearful. On the other hand, so grateful for the gift of life. On the one hand, a sense of disappointment and despair in today's circumstances of life, where the crumbs don't seem to be enough. On the other hand, a sense of comfort and encouragement, knowing through our trust in you, our God, you have led us through troubled waters before. So now we call upon you, our heavenly guide, our wise and wonderful God, just as the Canaanite mother in our scripture reading, with a strong faith, trust you because you are the source of healing, nurture, provision, and encouragement. As each of us comes to this time of offering, recognizing our sense of responsibility to provide the resources monetarily, physically, emotionally, and spiritually required in these trying times, times which will glorify you by our service and compassion as never before. Why? Because the founders of this church 62 years ago had a vision like none other to step out in faith and serve you, our God, in that very way. And by your grace, let it be so. Now hear this prayer, O God, that we offer in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, the most worthy, on whose rock we stand. Amen.
Thank you, Marilyn. That one, I think, preaches itself. Just as you are loved. If we can be of help to you from 12 feet away, please let us know. Call, email, wave us down, send a carrier pigeon. We do care for you and pray for you and root for you and are here for you despite the various limitations. If you would stand, I would love to offer these words as you go. I have seen that God is in you, and may the world taste the peace of Christ because of you. Amen.